I invite you to turn your Bibles this evening to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, you will find that on page 1163 in the Pew Bible. While you're turning there, a little background to our passage that we're going to look at. The book of Hebrews is commonly referred to as a homiletic book, meaning that it reads like one giant sermon. It's got long passages where logic kind of flows through it. We don't exactly know who the author of Hebrews was, but the truths contained therein are indeed inspired of the Holy Spirit. And as the author of Hebrews uses different passages to look at who Christ was, and indeed we read in chapter 2 how Jesus was made indeed like us, that he was not something else, and that indeed he is greater than Moses in chapter 3. And in chapter 4 begins a passage about how indeed Christ was a great high priest. And so we'll begin reading at verse 14 of chapter 4 and continue reading through verse 10 of chapter 5. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Every high priest is selected from among men and is appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called by God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who would save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Thus far the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. People of God, what is a priest? Boys and girls, this might be something that is unfamiliar to you, and indeed it's even unfamiliar to us nowadays. The closest thing we come to a priest nowadays is in the Roman Catholic Church, where they still have an altar. And this man walks through with all these robes on and all these this demonstration of his position and his titles. And he walks up and he stands before the altar. And it's a lot of ceremony and it's a lot of pomp and it's a lot of showiness. But we really don't see why he's called a priest. Is it just a title? Is it just something someone is called? Is it just a job? What does it mean to be a priest? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ not only knew what it meant to be a priest, but indeed knew what it meant to be a high priest. Boys and girls, he's your high priest. And he's our high priest. He didn't come dressed in royal robes He didn't come with this job title, so to speak. He came as a baby in a manger. And yet he was still a high priest. And indeed, in our passage in Hebrews, we see that Jesus, who is our great high priest, sympathizes with us. Now that big word, sympathizes, we really don't understand what it is. At least not if you're 4 or 5. Sympathizes means he's able to understand where we're coming from. So he can relate. If you're a teenager, he knows what you're talking about. And indeed, Jesus, our great high priest, he sympathizes with us to a purpose, so that we are able to come to the Father for mercy and grace. We're able to come before the throne of God. And that's what we're going to look at tonight in our passage. We're going to see that Jesus, our great high priest, indeed sympathizes with us, so that we're able to come to the Father for mercy and grace. And we're going to look at this in two primary divisions. Jesus as our sympathetic high priest, but then also what difference does it make having Jesus as our high priest? First of all, we have to understand what a priest is. We've said what he isn't. He's not this man that just has pomp and showiness and a lot of gold and a lot of weird-looking clothes. Indeed, a priest was a job. But our understanding of a priest comes from the Bible. And according to the Bible, a priest worked in the temple and in the tabernacle. He was a descendant of Aaron. And his days, well, they consisted of a lot of killing. Indeed, a priest was more like a butcher than he is a modern-day pastor. Day in and day out, sacrifices had to be made. People would come and bring their offerings, and the priest would say a prayer, and there would be a laying on of hands on the animal, and then the animal would be killed, and then it would be put on the altar as a burnt offering. Or there would be a thanks offering. Or there would be any of the other 5 types of offerings that there were. And indeed, it was the priest who oversaw all of this. They were the ones who took care of the temple in the time of Israel. They were the ones who, yes, even cleaned up the place. They were truly the servants of God's people. They were Levites. They were considered the teachers of the law. They were the ones that were considered educated, and the ones that indeed would educate others later on. They were the ones that allowed the Pharisees to come into existence. They were the ones that allowed the rabbinical system that we have today in synagogues to come into existence through their hard work of teaching the people and teaching the Torah, the 5 books of Moses, the prophets, and indeed the history as well. But it wasn't just a job. Indeed, it wasn't just a bloody business being a priest. Because just killing things, well, that makes you a butcher. That doesn't make you a priest. And when we look at our passage today, it says that, well, there is a difference. There is a distinction. Indeed, nobody can just say, well, I think I'll be a priest. Verse 4 in chapter 5 tells us nobody takes this honor upon himself. Indeed, he must be called by God just as Aaron was. And so priests were called by God to work in the temple. They were called by God to officiate all of the sacrifices, all of the worship times. But what is a high priest? Well, a high priest was one elevated from amongst the priests. He must have been a descendant of Aaron, and indeed there was only one. Everybody else and all of the Levites could be priests, but this one was a high priest. This high priest was in charge of things. He was sort of the big man on campus. He was the one who went into the Holy of Holies only one time a year, the day of Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And indeed, being the high priest, he was the one that saw even judicial cases when it came to religious affairs. He was the one that had to make sure that everybody was doing their job. He was an organizer. But above all else, especially on Yom Kippur, he was a representative before God to the people. Indeed, there was a priest who was called to go before the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And there was a little altar. And that priest would sprinkle incense on this altar. And this altar would burn the incense, and the smoke would rise, and it would fill the temple. And it represented the people of God and their prayers. Indeed, as the prayers of God went up, so too the smoke went up before this curtain. And as this priest prayed, as the people prayed, it would rise before the Lord and before His throne. That is what it means to be a priest. It means to be a representative. It means to pray. If we look at our passage, especially in verse 7, it shows how Christ was indeed a priest. How does he demonstrate himself as a priest? During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries, with tears, to the one who could save him from death. Indeed, he offered up prayers. He interceded. We can turn to Luke 17. Sorry, not Luke 17, John 17. I apologize. But Luke 17, which is considered the high priestly prayer in Gethsemane. Verse 20, if you look at that heading that the NIV Bible has, it says, Jesus prays for all believers. And what does he pray? My prayer is not for them alone, meaning his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, when he was in Gethsemane, some of his last thoughts were about you and me. And when he prays, in verse 21, he prays that all of us may be one. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Indeed, Christ was our high priest. He interceded on our behalf. He prayed on our behalf. He represented us before God. Boys and girls, a representative is someone who stands in the place of. If you think of when mom and dad go to the voting booth, as they did this past month in November, and they went in and they either wrote a line on a piece of paper, or they might have punched a little hole, or they hit a little box on a touch screen. They voted for somebody. And those votes were tallied, and the person who won the election is a representative. They were the ones that were going to represent the people who lived in that area for a certain job. Indeed, some of them go to Washington, D.C., and they represent the people in this area in the federal government. And some represent the people of this area in the state government down in Springfield. But we don't all get to go there. Not everybody gets to just go down there and say anything. Instead, it's the representative that takes the voices of the people, concentrates them into one person, and says, I speak for them. That's what a representative is. It's someone who speaks on behalf, who represents, who stands in the place of. And Jesus stood in our place before God, and indeed before the judgment of God. But how does one who lived 2,000 years ago even relate to us now? How does the second person of the Trinity even know what it means to be a human being? I've gotten that question before. What do you mean? You claim that God came to earth? How can God understand what it means to be a human? If indeed that's the God that you believe in. How do we know? Well, the writer of Hebrews tells us. We have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way. Think of the great temptation that happened as Jesus came, or as Jesus went into the desert. When Satan himself came to Jesus and said, really? Did God really say that? I mean, you're hungry, right? You've been wandering around the desert for 40 days. Just turn these stones into bread. What does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of the Lord. And then Satan says, come on. I mean, after all, it says in the Bible, you know, just throw yourself down. It says in the Bible that, you know, he shall command his angels concerning you, that you shall not, or he shall not let your stone, or shall not let your foot dash itself against a rock. Satan twists the scriptures for his own purposes. And Jesus again refutes him, saying, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And again, Satan comes to him. And I have to believe this is the greatest temptation of all. Well, just bow down to me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Even at that time, Jesus could see the road he was walking. The road from Galilee to Jerusalem, entering Jerusalem on a donkey, and from Jerusalem gate down the road to the cross, the pain, the suffering, and death, the hard road that had to be trod. Indeed, he was tempted. And yet the Lord withstands temptation. Get away from me, Satan. Get away from me. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. With that declaration, Christ accepts the path Christ chooses the hard way. Go back to our reading that we had this evening in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, as one version puts it. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Indeed, Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Not because he could offer more sacrifices than anybody else, but instead because he put himself in our place. Indeed, because he was our true representative. Because he could sympathize with us. Even 2,000 years ago. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, how can someone 2,000 years ago sympathize with us? They don't have cell phones or Facebook or... I mean, how does Jesus actually know what I'm going through? Jesus, the one who was almost killed by his own hometown, almost thrown off a cliff. Jesus, who was almost repeatedly stoned by the teachers of the law. Indeed, think of them, boys and girls, as their own church members. Tried to kill him. His family abandons him. Indeed, the last time you hear of Joseph is in the only time you hear of Joseph is in the Bible, in the birth narrative, during the Christmas story. The only other time his name is mentioned is when he's 12 years old and goes to the temple. And yet you only hear him referred to as the Father, Jesus' mother and father. When people crush us, when illness goes through our homes, when sorrow makes its bed in our hearts, and we just can't seem to find the joy in the world. Our Lord has been there. When there's injuries that won't seem to heal, when there's emotional scars and mental issues that we just can't seem to fix on our own, we have a sympathetic high priest who suffered all these things at the hands of you and indeed of my own hands. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And our great high priest, again, wasn't our high priest because he sacrificed the most. Not because he could kill more animals than any other priest in the Old Testament. For how could an animal pay for the sin of man? Indeed, he was our great high priest because he offered himself a sinless, spotless Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Last week, I had the pleasure of listening to a recording. I wasn't able to be there, but of the Messiah. And as that oratorio, as that musical piece plays through the life of Jesus Christ, You hear the pain. You hear the suffering, even in the music and in the words that Handel wrote. He uses the words of Isaiah 53. Surely he bore our griefs. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. All we like sheep have gone astray. But Handel also wrote other pieces within that oratorio that shows the victory. That even though, yes, indeed, there was a hard road to walk, that road was not in vain. Christ was our high priest, but he is our victorious high priest as well, who conquered sin and death, who offers life to you, who offers life to me, even in the midst of our sorrow. He offers peace and offers joy, even in the darkest times of our life. Psalm 23 rings all the more true. The rod and staff of the Lord comfort us, even when we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, because we have a great shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. It's John 10. Okay. So we have a great high priest. What difference does this make? What's the point? Okay. So he was without sin. He offered himself as a sacrifice. Why? Verse 16 of chapter 4. The writer of Hebrews shifts. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. We don't approach the throne of God with timidity. Yes, we approach with fear and with reverence, with awe and with reverence, but we don't approach in terror for a God who issues judgment upon us. We come with joy in our hearts to praise Him with confidence because of our sympathetic high priest. We go there. We go to the throne of grace in our prayers, in our petitions. Even in those little times during the day when we just say, Lord, please help me through this. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm frustrated right now. Lord, help me. We're able to go before the throne of grace because we know through our high priest we have mercy and grace. We shall receive mercy and grace. We receive mercy because our high priest has paid that penalty. The punishment that was supposed to be for us, when there's so much red ink in the debt column, and it's all wiped away. When there's so many problems, so many hardships, and we cry out to the Lord, He gives us His mercy and His grace. Instead of a judgmental God who condemns us, we find a loving Father who provides for us and who gives us His grace. Instead of a God who is straight and narrow and says no, through the face of Christ, we see a God who is loving with arms open wide and who says, yes, come to me, my son, my daughter. For my yoke, my burden, they are easy, they are light. Find rest for your weary soul. And in our busyness, in the hubbub of life, when we just can't seem to get ahead, when we can't seem to make ends meet, when that bank account starts dwindling, we realize the Lord provides. He gives us mercy. He gives us grace. And so we too offer mercy and grace to those around us. The Lord is our fountain of grace. And so let us share that grace. Our catechism. In question and answer 30, I want you to turn there with me in the back of the Psalter hymnal, please. Sorry, Lord's Day 12, question and answer 32. It's 32. You'll find it on page 19 in the back of the Blue Psalter hymnal. Why are we called, why are you called a Christian? Because by faith I am a member of Christ, and so I share in His anointing. Remember, His anointing of prophet, priest, and king. But we are anointed to an end. What does it say? I am anointed to confess His name, to present myself to Him as a living sacrifice of thanks, to strive with a good conscience against sin and the devil in this life, and afterward to reign with Christ over all creation for all eternity. We have a great high priest, and we share in the work of that great high priest. When you go forward into your day doing the work that God has called you to do, you act as a priest. You act as an intercessor between the world and God. And just as a priest proclaims blessing, which has trickled down to where a pastor, an ordained minister, pronounces a blessing with the lifting up of hands, so too in your work, you give blessing by the mercy and grace that you receive from the throne of God. But you are also proclaimed, or you are also given the gift to proclaim the word. You are given the gift to show forth that grace and mercy. And so too lead others to grace and mercy. And so, as we go upon our homeward way, as we work our 9-to-5 jobs, maybe 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. for some of us, let us demonstrate mercy and grace. Let us demonstrate the difference that it makes to our lives. Let other people ask the questions. And when you say, I have a Savior, well, what difference does that make? Well, let me tell you, I can go before the throne of God with confidence and receive mercy and grace. People of God, maybe do that in our days when we are awake, when we are asleep, when we go about our homeward way, and when we work this week. Indeed, the difference that it makes is you. Amen. Gracious Lord, sympathetic High Priest, We come before you, O Lord, thankful that we are able to come before the throne of God in confidence, with mercy and grace bestowed to us. We ask, O Lord, that we may show that mercy and that grace to those around us, that we may show what it means to be an intercessor as we share in the anointing of Christ. O Lord, give us your peace. Guide us upon our homeward way, and be with us as we work and we live in you. Amen.